Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving pranams at the lotus feet of the Purna Avatar, Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, who is the life breath of everything and everyone connected with Radio Sai. Good morning and Sai Ram, dear listeners, and thank you for staying tuned to Radio Sai through August 2015. It is 9:40 a.m. Indian Standard Time. Today is the 6th of August 2015 and you're tuned to our Asia Stream. And we are coming to you live from the Radio Sai studios in Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Current weather conditions in the abode of supreme peace are cooler than last week, with moderate to strong winds and occasional monsoon showers. Minimum temperatures at night 23, maximum during the day 32 degrees Celsius. General outlook for the day, a mix of sun and cloud, kind of confusing actually, because one moment it is bright and sunny and the very next it's overcast as the clouds cover the sun. Now here's what's making news in Prashanti Nilayam, the epicenter of all things true, auspicious and beautiful. Believe it or not, the Guru Purnima celebrations have charged the divine atmosphere of the ashram to a new high, with devotees from so many different parts of the world, and India presenting their devotion and love through music and dance and dramas in the divine presence in the Sai Kulwant Hall. And the very important International Conference on Sai Spiritual Education, or SSE, just concluded here. Today, we have guests from this event, that is the World SSE Conference, to bring us up to speed on that event. And after we speak with our studio guests, I will play for you part two of our exclusive Tryst with Divinity interview with Mr. G.B. Choitram Jethwani of Dubai. So first, let me introduce you to our guests. With me in the studio right now is Katinka van Lamsweerd. Born in the Netherlands, Katinka moved to France in her teens with her family and she studied and worked in the United States until Bhagwan called her in 1990. 10 years of numerous days at his lotus feet, she spent in her effort to learn, experience, feel and practice his love. She was then inspired to move to Laos to serve the children in a rural area where she helped the villagers build schools and provide drinking water. And she did this for another decade, from 2000 to 2010. Katinka was blessed to stay and study and teach at the Satya Sai School in Thailand. She describes it as a transformation of love through the human values. She has participated in the disaster relief in Haiti from 2010 to 2011, and she is currently the national country president of the Sri Satya Sai International Organization in the Netherlands. Sai Ram, Sister Katinka, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sai Ram Karuna, Sai Ram, dear listeners, brothers and sisters in Sai.
We're very happy to have you this morning. And we also have another guest with Katinka. My other second guest is Hamina Krishnabhatia. Hamina Krishnabhatia comes from Pittsburgh, USA, where she is involved in the Pittsburgh Sai Center as an SSE coordinator, that is Satya Sai Education, Sai Spiritual Education Coordinator. Sai Ram to you, Hamina, as well.
Sai Ram, and thank you for inviting us here today.
It's a pleasure to have you ladies with us this morning. Now, let's begin with Katinka. Katinka, what can you tell our listeners about the just concluded conference, the International SSE Conference? Please bring us up to speed about the important takeaway, the highlights, and so on.
Well, first of all, I have to share the joy and enthusiasm that's really bubbling up, not only in me, but in many, many of the participants, because the conference was truly a wonderful, recharging event where we were able to exchange with people from so many different places, not only representative from 48 countries over all 11 zones, but also there was a big range of ages, from small children who participated in the dramas, but also in the networking fair that we'll be speaking about later, to teens, youth, very experienced teachers who have been teaching Thai spiritual education for sometimes 30 years, who were here when Swami gave the very first training to international teachers, and others who learned from Swami himself at his lotus feet from birth how to develop character, of course, but also how to become a Thai spiritual education teacher. So it was a big range, and it was so inspiring to meet and to really build bridges, which was one of the goals, the clear goals of the conference. And what was beautiful about it, that wasn't limited to Thai spiritual education, if you can even use the word limited, but it was also fed by people who are experienced in Sakya Thai education and human values, which of course has the same core and the same goal, but it seemed different. To find the correspondences, to find that we're all trying to just help ourselves and children, because it's our own sadhana, in fact, ourselves and children to find God, to be closer to God, and to realize that we are God, and therefore we are one. And this path, of course, has to be adapted a little bit to the situation of the children, to the origin, to the culture, to the contemporary situation also, where there's so many different challenges. And these different issues were addressed through workshops, in beautiful speeches, through the networking fair that I just mentioned, and also in the dramas that were held in the evening, because the different themes were addressed at different points. And so it was a very, very recharging experience. And to be able to really network, to be able to really get together every afternoon was specifically designed to meet each other, to discuss things, to see how can we address certain issues, how can we build a framework, is it necessary, how can we improve the training for the teachers, how can we involve the parents more, because of course you can't do this on your own. And what touched me is to really feel the importance Swami gives, that every single child in the world really has a right to find out about the human values that he gave us, that are already inside, that need to blossom, about the unity that exists in all of creation, where God is present, including in ourselves, that we are God, aspects of God, that we need to blossom into who God created so that we can contribute to this whole, that we're all different parts that work together like a beautiful puzzle, like a beautiful flower, all different flowers, but all are important and beautiful. And to gain confidence in that is so important, so that we don't try to be like somebody else or like something else, but like that being that God wants us to be here on earth today, and that through Sakya Thai education, Thai spiritual education, we help the children to find that path so that they don't get lost in all kinds of byways, in all kinds of pitfalls, which we as adults, sadly enough, often already encounter. But we can actually help these children to preserve them from these obstacles by guiding them right from the start. So these are things that are just so important and really I took from this conference, and we were able to share in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Did you make a presentation, Katinka?
No. I participated, and it's so funny. I was so inspired because actually the conference had a long breath before starting. Then there's the conference, and it will continue. The networking will continue after. There was a beautiful website designed so you could sign in and you could follow all the preparations. Many beautiful discourses that had been selected, citations, short quotes, which were required reading before we even got here. And the people who were not able to attend in person were, of course, able to sign up, able to take advantage of this, and will continue to receive all the information that is needed and that is useful. And we also had webinars per zone, and this is where I got really inspired. The presentation by Dr. Srinivasan Raghavan was so creative, so open, so contemporary about where are children now? How can we meet them where they are? How can we reach them in that what interests them already? And show them that the human values are there. Show them that they can do their own research. And this, of course, is totally in line with education in many parts of the world these days, where children basically have to find out for themselves at a very young age, because even within one family, the parents don't automatically agree anymore. It used to be that there's one big community, the children are raised within that community, there is a common set of values, and it was rather easy for them, because every adult could also help every child to grow, because there was one goal and one path. Today, this has completely exploded into many, many different possibilities. So the children need to be able to develop discrimination so that they can choose the right path. And even in their own families, they have to be able to go inside, consult their conscience, and find out, what is it that I need to do in this situation? Because they're confronted with the media, with friends from all kinds of backgrounds, with all kinds of values, with all kinds of experiences. And so the SSE program and the SSEHV programs are designed to help children make those choices. And so if you have an idea, go to the heart, find out what your conscience has to say about this idea. Is it helpful or is it harmful? Is it good? Is it positive? Or should you not put it into action? And only if the heart accepts it, put it into action. And that's the unity between thought, word, and deed, between head, heart, and hands, which is one of the pillars of Sakyasai education.
Katinka, when you go back to the Netherlands after attending, having attended this conference, what is it that you will do differently?
First of all, I will right away go and visit every center. I will arrive very late on Friday night, and I was already thinking, okay, which center is having their services on Saturday? Because you want to share this energy.
Yes.
I feel really revitalized in the awareness of the responsibility we have, not only of sharing this joy, but also of helping each other to keep the goal in mind and to dedicate ourselves to that. Because it is giving so much joy, but it is also so important. And we tend to sometimes forget that a little bit. It tends to fall a little bit by the wayside because we let other things take over. And so I really feel, having come here, so very grateful, because it has totally recharged me down to every cell to be able to meet each other at that level, because that's what we need.
You know, throughout this conference, when I spoke to people and after, the one thing that kept coming up was the networking fair. Sister Hemina, what can you tell our listeners about this networking fair?
So this is an amazing opportunity for all the countries that we mentioned, you know, that there was such a breadth of diversity. And I think the best things that I really enjoyed was not only seeing the cultural aspects that each country brought to their booth, but also, you know, talking to the representatives of the booth. Specifically, I enjoyed talking to the teenagers in one of the USA booths. They were part of the SSE4 group. And the children had actually developed and written their own program to develop an application, and it's called pilotyourlife.org. And participants who sign up with this program get a task on a daily basis. And some of the tasks are really simple, like, you know, smile to 5 people a day. And one of the examples that the guru for that class had shared a story with 5 children going to thank the janitor, who is the person who cleans their school. So five children had gone to this particular janitor and thanked him for all his hard work. And he had worked in that school for like 20 years. And this is the first time he had all this gratitude expressed to him. And it was like he was just beaming with joy. And, you know, he was almost moved to tears with this show and of love.
Oh, my God. Yes.
So, and here's an example of our young, you know, children being motivated. And, you know, this guru, Chetan, who's the SSC teacher, he just basically facilitated their inborn talent that Swami has bestowed in each one of us. And we basically, through this SSC program, we're basically trying to get those human values to be channeled outwards in a very positive and, you know, in a very gratifying, you know, way.
And there's so much to learn from each other. I noticed one thing when I came to observe a few times, that the number of women were way more, almost twice as many as men.
Three times.
Wow. Wow. Yes. So obviously the SSC program is driven very greatly by women. I think at all early stages it's the women. Only when the boys become adolescent we have men taking over. So what was it like to network with so many people who are facing the same challenge, the same difficulties in making sure that the children stay on path?
I think, well, obviously, as we're women, I mean, it's wonderful to be able to see so many women speakers at all of, throughout the entire conference. And I would say that, and I'm sure you can please, you know, jump in also, but I think just having women being role models and being not only the experienced teachers and but also just from the centers, like what are the challenges that we have, because most of us are mothers, and so how do we balance raising our children, like say for example in the USA where we have so many external influences. So how do we try and bring Swami's message, but at the same time we're like, okay, with teenage children, you know, they want to be fashionable. We all did also as teenagers. How do we want to be dressed modestly but still fit in with our friends, for example, right? So we as women, you know, we network with each other and share ideas from our centers, like, okay, so how do we do that? Because we want our children to fit into our cultures and into our countries. But then at the same time, you know, we want them to also live Swami's teachings. So, you know, these are the challenges that it's so helpful to be able to network and brainstorm ideas.
I see. Okay, this sounds like very useful.
Yeah, and what came out of this conference, which is of course known, but I always like it to be repeated and to feel it again, is that the SSC gurus are really like mothers for these children. They're their spiritual mothers, and of course need to work very closely with the parents. That was a lot that was emphasized, the triangle between student, parent, guru, and how these three center around God, who is the center of all of this. But the gurus are feeding the spiritual hunger of the children, and we should never underestimate that spiritual hunger. It is there. The child might not realize it, but it's there because it's our human being, our human condition. And so sometimes they serve to awaken that spiritual hunger. Sometimes they need to really be able to go deep in order to be able to satisfy or help the child in that search. And I liked the fact actually that there was a third of the participants who were men, because of course it started within the women's wing of the Satya Sai organization in India.
That is right.
And the fact that so many men are now also participating, they are also shouldering their responsibility as fathers, as gurus, as living beings doing their own sadhana, because that's something else that really came to the forefront during this conference. We are being gurus, teachers, and that is our sadhana. This is what's helping us to grow. This is our path, our role. And that makes it so much easier to be committed to it, because it's no longer dependent on the feedback we get, whether it goes well or not so well, because it is our exercise. We need to keep at it and keep, you know, improving ourselves and growing from it. And that creates this beautiful dialogue with Swami. Swami, please help me. What can I do differently? How can I respond to these children, you know, who are trying as teenagers to break away a little bit from the parents? And we had a beautiful example through one of the speakers, Miss Gita Ram, who herself has been guided by Swami from birth, who explained who at age 5 Swami would play snakes and ladders with them, and how he really step by step accompanied the child at the level where the child was at while still guiding it. And when she became a teenager, of course she wanted to break loose a little bit from her parents, and she said how Swami took her side, understood her, talked with her, but at the same time went to the parents and said, you know, this is what needs to happen. This is how you can help your child. Uh-huh. And so it illustrates completely the role of the guru and the importance of working with the parents. Because, of course, if the child is going in a certain direction and the parents are going in a different one, or what came up a lot, that suddenly for parents the academics become so important that they pressure the child in that direction and sometimes keep the child from going to SSE class. If we can show how being able to reduce stress, being able to become peaceful, being able to use the human values is helping also academically, then the parents can understand how, you know, a holistic education is so important, and it's not one or the other. Some other countries, such as Laos, for example, Mr. Avi Sarkar gave a beautiful presentation. And having been in Laos, of course, I know that part of what they do is to help the children there where they have difficulties in school. Mm-hmm. So they also give tuition classes through, you know, human values with the prayers, and they are meeting the child where it has needs.
Yes.
So that really works.
Yeah, and that works a lot in India too. When we work with slum children and we take Balvikas to them, we help them where they need help. We don't define their needs. Yeah. We study their needs and fulfill them as part of our SSE mandate.
Yeah.
So what was it that teachers sort of revisited about their role? Because Swami is so particular that a teacher can only effect change in a student if he or she practices what she is preaching.
Of course, and here we get back to the personal sadhana that is so important. Of course, we cannot just take the manual and read it if we're not being a perfect example. And this is the sadhana part, because the example has to be valid at all times and everywhere. And this is really a challenge, of course, for the teachers as well. But it's really keeping us on track. It's a big help.
Katinka, how easy or how difficult is it to recruit new SSE teachers, younger ones?
Well, a lot is being done to involve the children as they become youth in the center activities, of course. And we find that through service and service activity, which are so stimulating, and you can add to this, Hemina, the children are more likely to want to participate. And it's a bit of a challenge sometimes to keep the older students and have them come back as SSE teachers, because of course they need to go and study, they need to, you know, build up their life
and make money to pay their tuition. I mean, they have genuine reasons too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lack of time, you know, a lot of pressure, many things. But first of all, of course, without being SSE teachers, having gone through the program, they are contributing something very important to society. And I could personally notice that when I was at the Satya Sai School in Thailand, in the institute doing my diploma course there, there were 3 students who had gone through the entire SSE program, mm-hmm. and they were really shining examples of Sai. I was so impressed. And one particular story was of a boy who from 14 to 17 just didn't want to hear anything about Sai activities, Sai center, and he even became a bouncer for a nightclub. And then suddenly, I don't remember sadly enough the incident, but something triggered him, and he completely turned around and now is helping other youth who, you know, want to actually take a total tangent to realize how important it is to follow the human values, and but in a totally honest, thorough, modern way. He could really meet them where they are because he had gone through it. And there were several examples that just showed that this SSE program, I got so much respect from it, not having gone through it myself, not having had that opportunity. But to see the effect of it, it was really wonderful, really wonderful.
How do people in Europe, in your part of the world, respond to it when you go into the community and talk about this program?
See, in Europe we have, of course, a few children in the centers. But personally I'm involved in an SSEHV project in the community where we mention that we are from the Satyasai organization and that Satyasai is the founder, but we don't dwell on the life and teachings of Sai Baba. And it so happens that in the community center where we are, all of the children are of a Muslim immigrant background. And so we teach about and with the human values, trying to be the exemplars, giving the attention and the love, doing all
which
the lessons.
Is this?
This is near Amsterdam.
Near Amsterdam.
Yeah. Using all the five teaching techniques, and the children enjoy it very much. And then we have parent meetings where we just did a sample lesson, and particularly the light meditation, they totally adored it. So this is also a relationship that you build up over time, of course. And we've been doing it for 2 years now. We continue, and it's nice because we're a small team of people working together, involving a few SEVA workers and a few teachers. And it's a beautiful experience.
Amina and Katinka, what can you tell our listeners about the exhibits you had? There was a nice exhibition at the back of the hall.
Actually, yeah, this was part of the networking fair, mm-hmm. where the different countries presented their activities. I went to the booth by the Russian-speaking countries, and it was so nice. All the pictures, but also the explanations. For example, they have yearly family camps, and at the same time, there are medical camps and camps where they help rebuild an orphanage or parts of a village that need help. So it's a work camp, a medical camp, and then they have SSE activities. And they were also asked to participate, for example, in a state camp to help young people with addictions. And they came in with the human values and had a whole program that was very successful.
How impressive is
that? So that's a very specific area where they could actually do their work.
And that the larger community is realizing the worth of this program as an effective tool.
Absolutely. And as far as I know, they don't use the name of Sai because the circumstances don't really permit that. But the work itself is totally being recognized and the love is flowing.
A
just the same.
By any name
just
will
the same. Yes.
Just be the same. So they're taking the message there because they have to be sensitive to the political climate in their communities.
Absolutely.
I see. Amina, your last final thoughts?
Well, you know, I think Swami uses whatever vehicle to bring people to him. And I guess, you know, the SSE conference as well as the USA pilgrimage prior to it was kind of what drew me back to Puttaparthi. I haven't been here since the Mahasamadhi. So this was such a lovely way to come back. And, you know, Swami is just, you know, his spiritual vibrations are as strong as ever, and in Guru Purnima, you know, there was over 10,000 people here at the ashram, and you know, we just feel Swami here, and we're so grateful to him for organizing this wonderful conference and bringing us all here.
Katinka, your final thoughts?
Mostly, I want to share my gratitude to Swami, mm-hmm. Who makes it all possible, and who has these incredible, incredible instruments who are making it possible. I was so touched by the people of the events committee, of the hospitality committee, of all the volunteers, the canteens who opened up for us, you know, suddenly 350 ladies coming in at once. Every level of the ashram, the Central Trust members who came and spoke with us, Mr. Ratnakar came and distributed saris to all the ladies, mm-hmm. In Swami's name, of course. So their Swami's gift to us is how we experience it. And the speakers, Dr. Narendra Reddy, of course, as chairman of the Prashanti Council, Dr. Paul Dahl, chairman of the Educational Committee, Ms. Gita Ram, who shared her experiences, Bernice Mead, who has been National Education Coordinator for 22 years in the United States, who has so much to share, and all of the other speakers hailing from many different countries, Malaysia, Australia, Germany, Greece, USA, Singapore, really a whole range, I'm forgetting people, I'm sure, a whole range of people sharing their experiences. So I thought all of that is just making me so grateful. And it was very interesting also during the workshops to be able to hear from people from the Middle East, from America, from Latin America, all these different experiences, but it's all one core. So how do we deal with that? And the teachings are the core, and so we can deal with that.
I know, and you know what fascinates me about, you speak of gratitude, is that each one of those teachers and the thousands around the world who spared their time to prepare for their lessons, do the prep, share their love, and then go and teach, they do it without any kind of compensation, monetary, material compensation. And all the 500-odd delegates who flew to Puttaparthi and stayed here did so at their own expense. There is no question. All these years we never talked about it, but come to think of it, which organization has that strong spiritual pull that people don't even think twice before making a commitment, such a deep commitment for life? And just buying an air ticket, and it can take your years, for an average person, a year's worth of their savings. They think every penny is well spent because it's spent in making a difference. So this kind of enormity of heart, only Bhagwan, the ultimate teacher, could have inspired us to acquire. And it's His grace that is allowing all of us to think along those lines. We could well be spending the money elsewhere, isn't it? And our time, and our energy, and our learning, doing something very different. So all in all, I must ask you this, did you feel His absence at any point in time in this conference?
No, I can't say I did at all. No, really. Swami is very much here.
Absolutely.
And very much shining through all of us here.
Everything that's happening here.
Yeah, you could feel His presence really, really strongly throughout the entire conference. Not only through the speakers, but, you know, with that beautiful picture of Swami in front of the hall, it just looked like His eyes were just shining into all of our hearts.
Exactly. And I think that's the experience of all of us at Radio Sai. When people ask us, you know, how is life after Mahasamadhi? I say it's richer than ever before, because even for a minute we don't feel Swami's absence. In all that we do, we feel His presence, His guidance and His blessing. So you kind of forget that He's not in Yajur Mandir or He's not in the Mandir. For us, He's everywhere at all times. Well, what can I say? Katinka and Hemina, thank you so very much for joining me on Morning Glory and sharing your thoughts about the Satya Sai Spiritual Education Conference that just took place August 1-3, 2015 in Prashanthi Nilayam.
Thank you, Karan.
Thank you, Sairam.
So, dear listeners, you just heard Hemina and Katinka from the International Sai Organization. And if you have any thoughts, comments, or suggestions about this conversation or the SSE conference, the international conference that just took place in Prashanthi, please feel free to share your thoughts with us. You can reach us by email at listener@radiosai.org. Now, before I move forward, I have a couple of important announcements for you. First one, please take a moment to inform everybody who is into Bhagwan and His glory that they must not miss afternoon satsang today. I think around 12 or 12:30, my colleagues Prem and Arvind, which is in about 2 hours from now, my colleagues Arvind and Prem will be logging in live. And today's discussion is a not-miss discussion. It's a topic on many people's minds, and it needs to be handled the way Swami would like it to be handled. I'm not going to give away what they're going to talk about, but you have to trust me on this one. Please be sure to log on to Radio Sai's Asia Stream and attend today's afternoon satsang. Now, if you're traveling or away, be sure in about 2 to 3 days, the download will be active on Thursday Live Archive. So note today's date, which is August 6, 2015. Go to afternoon satsang of this date and make sure you spend some time listening to it. I promise you, you will not regret it. Now, the next item on today's agenda is part 2 of Tryst with Divinity with Mr. G.B. Choitram Jethwani of Dubai. Before I play it, I just want to tell you a couple of things. Following this interview, I'm going to play for you an audio special, which is a Guru Purnima presentation from Team Radio Sai. And it is ever so melodious and beautiful. It's a Sikh kirtan, and it is called Guru Meri Puja, and that will be followed by your favorite, Sai Ma Pyari Ma. So these two songs is what will conclude Morning Glory this morning. And now I'm going to play Mr. Choitram's interview, part two. This is the conclusion of this two-part conversation, and I will be eagerly looking forward to your feedback to this Tris with Divinity interview with Mr. G.B. Choitram Jethwani of Dubai. As always, our email contact remains listener@radiosai.org. So till we meet next Thursday, please be well, do whatever it takes to stay in a positive space. And smile. And smile with all your heart, all your liver, all your kidney, everything. Because Swami says happiness is union with God. So please, for God's sake, be happy. Everything's okay. See you next week and enjoy the interview.
Now, coming back to the fact that just yesterday you had the Upanayanam ceremony of your grandson, the Yagnapavitam in Puttaparthi. Again, my question becomes, for three generations of the Choitram family, how come Puttaparthi remains the chosen destination for such an important celebration, although you could have gone anywhere in the world with better hospitality facilities?
Number one, please call me GB, not Choitram.
Okay, sir.
Why, that also I will tell you. My Sandhis, means my brother is married to their daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Very big firm in Freetown, Africa.
Right.
Then Africa business, they were very old and very people who really made big money.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to establish in Dubai. And they came to apply, they told me get a trade license. Without trade license you cannot open. Mm-hmm. And to apply for trade license you have to take house and office. And on those contracts you have to pay tax 10% and 5%, and then you can apply for the trade license.
Okay.
They came and told me that if I had to do all this, then what type of influence you have? You are so influential man, how can you tell us to buy this and then? I said, this is the rule of the government. What do you lose in doing that? If you are opening business, you have to take one premises for business and one premises for staying there. He did not agree. So they were staying for 15 days in Dubai. So once I got fed up, I said, okay, get up, come with me. I took him to the concern head. When I approached him, I want trade license. He was a good friend of mine. He said, in whose name? I said, Choitram. Supermarket. He immediately got it issued in half an hour, and I brought the license. He was waiting outside. I gave him the license. I never realized that by getting a trade license in the name of Choitram, people will feel it is me. People will not feel him, that he is Choitram, because he people are not knowing him. So it became Choitram Supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
So it has become so famous, they have got now more than 25 supermarkets.
But those are not yours?
No. They belong to that Choitram.
Hmm.
Choitram is the name of the owner's grandfather,
mm-hmm.
who is not living. But they are known Choitram, because their original business is also in the name of Choitram.
Mm-hmm.
And supermarket, even any ordinary man knows this is Choitram Supermarket.
Mm.
But because my first name is Choitram, which very few people in Dubai knew, my first name. Because I am known there as a GB.
Mm-hmm.
Now G is for Gagandas, B is for Bhavandas.
Yes.
Which is name of my grandfather.
Yeah. And that's the original business you had in Karachi.
Yes, yes. Gagandas, Bhavandas.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came to Dubai, Gagandas, Bhavandas is very difficult to pronounce for local people. So I took G from Gagandas, B from Bhavandas, and made it GB Trading Company.
Mm.
So everywhere we are known as GB. Even my name is Choitram, first name. Nobody calls me Choitram, GB. Ruler or bankers or everybody. I'm known in Dubai as Mr. GB, not as Choitram.
I notice you have the same initials on your gates, on your mansion,
yes,
everywhere there's a G,
right,
and a
GB,
P on
there. Yes, not Choitram. If you say Choitram, they will send you to supermarket.
So, okay, I will rephrase my question. So
yes.
The GB family, why did you choose to have the Upanayanam here?
Yes. My elder son, father of this boy who had this third ceremony yesterday. So Deepak, when he got married, marriage was taken, we brought here, and Swami arranged everything.
What do you mean by arranged? The wedding took
Deepak's
place in...
wedding took place in Whitefield.
Whitefield, okay.
And then I told Swami that I got 200-300 guests all over the world because he was my first son to get married. Mm-hmm. He said, everything will be arranged.
Mm-hmm.
But wedding will take place in Bangalore,
mm-hmm.
and I do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So all our guests who came from other various countries of the world, we brought them to Bangalore. And when we came to Bangalore, I think first I came about a month back to see and arrange, see what arrangements Swami can make and all that. So then we came one day before the wedding with all the guests. We chartered 3 planes and brought everybody here. And I got the message at the airport after landing that Swami wants you, that you, your son who is getting married, and your 4 daughters, and the girl who is getting married, first come to us, come to Swami. Flight was delayed and flight reached around 7 o'clock or 6:30. So we 5 people went to Whitefield to Swami as per his order. And then Swami, of course, the volunteers knew me, some of them, but they won't allow me to go to Swami's house at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock evening. So I told them, you go and ask Swami. So we were allowed and we went to Swami's house. We all were sitting there. And somebody brought some saris on the, tray. He gave one sari to my would-be daughter-in-law at that time. And 3 saris to my daughters, 4 saris to my daughters, 1 sari to my wife. But which saris, which we buy in weddings to wear? Because we buy very expensive saris in the weddings, especially Sindhis. I was surprised. Then my wife asked Swami, that Swami, when Swami said, tomorrow morning 6 o'clock when you come, you should come in this sari, what I'm giving you. So my wife asked him that, Swami, we don't have blouses for these sarees. We
matching
have
accessories.
Matching accessories, yes. He said, blouse pieces are then there with sarees. You go out of this ashram, on left hand side, go inside, there is one tailor. You give him the measurements and give him these blouse pieces. They will make the blouses early morning, 5 o'clock, and bring them to your hotel and you can wear those.
Wow, even that detail, huh?
I got a shock of my life. It was around 7:30 or 8 in the evening. So, after our, this conversation was over, we came out. I told these ladies, now go.
Go find the tailor.
That tailor. They found it because it was very easy. They went to tailor and told him that these 5 blouses we want tomorrow at 5 o'clock morning in our hotel. He said, yes, don't worry. He stitched 5 blouses
all night, I guess,
and delivered to hotel for everyone to wear. And they were fixed everything correctly. So they wore those saris in the morning and attended the Swami's.
And then Swami performed the wedding?
Yes. And Swami had prasadam lunch also with us. I was sitting Swami and 300 people were sitting. 200 or 250 at one. Because 300 could not fit and but 250, 200 were there. While the wedding was going on, in between Swami told me, come. He took me where we were supposed to eat lunch, prasadam. He came with me. Now food was laid on dishes before each person, plates and everything. Food also there, not to take in the dish, in that food and for katoris of dal and whatever Swami had arranged. Every food plate Swami washed to see, and then he called, this napkin should be on the right hand, shift this. This here there is no glass, keep the glass. Like that he inspected all the food which we were supposed to have by himself. And then he brought me back to again ready. I was surprised that each dish Swami is shaking and correcting the people, you are not putting your napkin, you are not putting your glass. See, I was amazed, and then heart was touched. When wedding got over, we all went there, and then Swami sat on a small table where I brought his food, prasadam, and I was there to give him this. This was my first opportunity of my life to be with Swami and eat there. He was so particular about everything in the wedding. Flower decoration, nobody has seen in Bangalore such flower decoration arranged by Swami. And the food was so delicious that people, you see, from various countries of the world, they are not used to eat this type of food. But they all were eating and enjoying the food. So delicious. One fellow told me that Swami has told us to make the decoration as best as possible. Any place you go in Whitefield, you will find flower decoration and loudspeaker. Wedding was going on in the hall, everybody was listening the mantras in whole ashram. That type of wedding Swami had arranged. Everything, we did not do anything. Even as I told you, saris were given by Swami.
And I'm sure the Mangal Sutra for the bride and everything.
Everything he materialized, no? Mm. Then, normally, before the wedding, we arrange ring ceremony. So my wife had brought two rings, one for ceremony and one for the wedding. Mm-hmm. Why she brought, we did not know. I was surprised when she said she has brought two rings. When Swami gave saris, he said, tomorrow we will have ring ceremony also, which we were not expecting at all.
Mm-hmm. Is this Sindhi tradition?
Yes.
I see.
Ring ceremony. Now the girl's mother said, I have no ring, I have not brought ring, because boy wears to the girl, girl wears. So every parent has to bring the
ring.
My wife brought two rings of solitaire. We wear solitaire, you see. But she said, I have no ring. We left. I asked my wife, Kishori, why you brought these two rings? We did not tell you there will be ring ceremony. There will be engagement ceremony, not ring. She said, I don't know. I got in my mind, so I put two rings. Mother of the girl in Bangalore, whoever she knew, went to buy one solitaire ring to wear tomorrow. She could not get. Our information was that whole night she has not slept and cried that now from here I will bring the ring. And Swami is doing ring ceremony tomorrow. So she came, but she had no ring. My wife had ring. So we showed both rings to Swami, that Swami, which one we should wear now and which one we should wear on the wedding day. And Swami chose smaller solitaire. Smaller means 4 or 5 carat. And one was big of 12 carat. So he said, this wear it in the wedding, this you wear tomorrow to my wife. But the girl's mother had no ring. We came in the morning for ring ceremony and Swami's engagement, because engagement was also done by him. Swami told her, girl's mother, whole night you have not slept and cried. You went whole Bangalore to find solitaire. You could not get. Right? She said, yes. She said, when I am here, why you are worried? He materialized one good solitaire ring and gave her to wear to the boy. We all were shocked. Solitaire ring, which normally we buy. Swami knew everything, no? So he knows. He materialized one good solitaire ring and gave her. You wear? Why you are worried? Why you are crying all night? Why did you go around all Bangalore to find? So each and everything was taken care by Swami.
In
the engagement ceremony as well as in the wedding ceremony.
So I can understand that Swami did everything, and it must have been so special for your family. But right now, Bhagwan is not in the form and he's not here to physically supervise or arrange. And yet you chose to have the Upanayanam here, the thread ceremony here. Why?
Because my grandson told me that his father got married here by Swami. And as I told you, all my children are devotees of Swami. He said, I would like to have this thread ceremony in Puttaparthi. He told us.
How old is he?
He's 17.
Wow.
So when he said that, we said, very good. I became very happy on the contrary. Because we have otherwise big parties, this, that, we spend a lot of money for engagement ceremony, wedding ceremony. So we said, okay. So I came here, met the concerned people. They said, don't worry, we will arrange everything. And as in the wedding, Swami had arranged everything. This Akyan also, they told me, we will arrange everything. Flower decoration, this we will arrange. I was surprised. And all flower arrangements and hall and decoration, everything was arranged by them yesterday. So, Swami is living. How these people will get that idea that wedding was arranged by Swami and now let us arrange this also by Swami? So everything was arranged by Swami yesterday.
And for you, he was omnipresent, of course.
Yes.
Now, you're a very successful businessman, that goes without saying. You know, Swami teaches us about ethics and honesty and morality, accountability, following your conscience. Do you think all those things are practical if one wants to succeed in business in today's world?
Of course. If Swami wishes anything, it happens. But when you come to know, you feel it is not possible.
How do you mean?
Because if Swami says this, don't worry, we will arrange everything. Sometimes you think that some things and some other things you cannot arrange. But everything is arranged in a right way. Even yesterday. You see, the decoration and everything we wanted, in our mind we were thinking, all were there. Everything they arranged.
Who is they? The ashram?
Yes, ashram people. I spoke to Ratnakar.
He is the trustee of the central.
Yes, he is the trustee and his portfolio is ashram. So, he told me, don't worry. He phoned me in Bombay, Dubai. I said, I must come 3-4 days before the AKM so that I arrange decoration. They said, he said, everything we will arrange. What you want, tell me. So I told him, I want this decoration, I want Chennai, I want this, I want... He said, don't worry. Everything we will arrange. Now who says that? I say, Swami said. What he knew, what Swami arranged in the wedding, which took place 16 years, 17 years back. Everything was arranged by them, in a right way.
To your satisfaction and standards.
Yes. Said, we want 3-4 cars, they arranged 3-4 cars to bring the family people from our this ashram to there. Everything was arranged by them, Chennai.
Now, I can understand that, you know, event planning, Bhagwan did it for your son's wedding and now the ashram was gracious enough to do it for the grandson's thread ceremony. But as a person who grew his business with direct input from Swami, as you said, you would ask him anything and everything, even what would seem like a silly question, you would ask his guidance on it. Now you don't have access to him to ask those questions. How do you manage?
Well, when you pray, you get...
You get your answers?
Answers, and then it happens.
So, Tell us a little bit more. How do you seek guidance? When you sit down to pray, you pose a question to Swami?
No. Now I don't sit and pray and then ask Swami.
Okay.
I wish in my mind that Swami, I want this and that. It is fulfilled automatically.
And
most of the things.
Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't come through, you're okay with that?
Yes, then it doesn't come through, you can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the things fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. What advice would you give devotees who are coming into the Baba fold only after Swami left the physical body? What would be your advice as a person who has spent so much of personal time with him?
Number one, they don't come to advise. They don't come to me for advice.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because
they know that Swami is not there. How can he ask Swami?
No, not
advice
in that sense. What would you? What lessons would you share with them? How to connect with Swami? How to love him? What would you say to them?
Whoever with pure heart will remember Swami. Swami is there. Swami has been repeatedly saying that I am before you, after you, on above you, down you, everything I can, I am with you. But to be, to Swami, to be with us, you need prayers, no? Clean heart, prayers, then Swami is there. He watches you. Every step he watches you. In the beginning it is difficult to believe this, but when it is fulfilled, then you definitely get happy that everything, what I wished, I've got fulfilled. Same thing with me. Whatever I wish, I get fulfillment, but serious and clean heart. Even now I get fulfilled. And my habit is still same thing. Small things also I ask.
It's hard to believe you're such an ultra-sensitive person, and in the world of business, you're quite a magnet. You have to take some tough decisions. How do you reconcile? How do you manage being such a sensitive person and making tough choices, making big decisions?
I'm no more sensitive as I used to be.
Okay.
And I'm not arrogant as I used to be. When I first came here, as I told you, there was a telephone matter, I was insulted. I cannot accept one bad word to me of telling me anybody. But Swami has mended me during this time. So neither I am as sensitive as before, nor I am greedy as before. Many corrections have come in my life. And that is all Swami has done. Some few years back, Swami was in Ooty. So I went to Ooty. As I was climbing the hill, small hill, I got little pain.
In your heart?
In my heart, left hand side. And breathless I became.
Hmm.
Because of my happiness, I became very happy to come here. And I had brought my last daughter, who got married about a year back.
Hmm.
So they also came with me. I said, it was okay. We were here for 3 days. All the 3 days Swami gave us every day interview. When I went back to Bombay, I had to go to Japan to attend one meeting. My wife told me, no, you can't go. First you get your health checked. So I said, no, tomorrow I have to reach Singapore first. I will get it checked there. So I flew to Singapore. My wife phoned to my son-in-law there and daughter, don't leave him. First take him to doctor, heart specialist. They took me. I went there. He prescribed some medicines. He said, don't do this, don't do this. And when you come back from Japan, again consult me. So he gave me permission and I left for Japan. When I came back from Japan to Bombay before going to Dubai, then they told me to go to London. So I went to London. And my friends there took me to heart specialist. They took about 4 or 5 hours to... In those days, even small tests used to take time. When the test got over, we all were waiting in our bedroom. this surgeon doctor came. He said, when can I take you for operation of heart?
Oh.
I said, in my mind, I said, doctor or butcher? First thing, he must tell me what is wrong, this and that, when I will take you for operation.
Straight away.
I told him, doctor, if you want to operate on my heart, then kindly give me 1 week to go to Dubai, arrange my other things, because in those days, heart operation was not as easy as it's now. Let me settle few urgent matters, and then I will come after 1 week, and you can operate on my heart. He said that I'll be surprised to see you after 1 week. Now, this reply put me down. So I went to other doctor in London.
Second opinion.
But I did not tell him what my first doctor's first opinion to me. They said, you are quite bad, but we will prescribe few medicines.
What did you have, blocks?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you take those and you come after 1 week, we will look into it. But for 1 week you can take these medicines.
Mm-hmm.
I went to another third opinion. He also said the same what second opinion doctor told me.
Mm-hmm.
So without fear I could fly. Before I made everything, arrangements for my absence, I went to Puttaparthi, to Swami. Swami called me for interview. I said, Swami, I was in London, and doctor said that you must have open heart surgery. He said he did not say that thing. He said, you need one checkup which I don't remember now, but not open heart surgery, he has told you. Then I realized, of course, doctor did not tell me open heart surgery.
Mm-hmm. Angioplasty or something?
Angioplasty.
Okay.
So he said, okay, you do it, I'll be with you. Doctor Swami, no. I'm very much worried. Before they touch me, I will die. Please, Swami, save me. For 10 minutes, I was requesting Swami to kindly relieve me from this. After 10 minutes, he touched my heart and told me, okay, don't go for operation. I have made it cholesterol, so don't eat any oil or anything. And don't go for operation. I came out from interview room. One side I became very happy, other side said, Swami says like this, but is it possible? In my mind. Anyway, I came back to Bombay, straight to London. Same doctor who had told me, and they always give report in writing, who is writing in my report that after 1 week, he is insisting for going to 1 week, for 1 week, but I will be surprised to see him back, in writing. So I went to the same doctor who wrote that after 1 week. But I went to him after 3-4 weeks. He checked me. Are you same, Mr. G.B.? I said, do you find any different face? I'm same. He said, how come? Your heart is very good now. There's no blockage at all. Where did you go? I said, I went to my guard. That English fellow wouldn't believe that. He said, which guard? I said, you don't know that guard. So he said, you don't require any operation. Which Swami had said. Now it is about 20 years back this happened, or 25 years back. Recently, about 6 months back, I felt that I'm feeling very heavy here. So I went to heart specialist, who is a very good friend of mine and very famous surgeon. I told him that this is what it has happened, so I come to you. He said, then I will take you for angiograph and then straight for operation. He took me for angiograph. took me to operation theater. Before operation theater, he told me that he called other two specialists also. One doctor was insisting on angiography, and they put
the balloon.
Balloon. And one doctor was recommending operation. So they were both discussing and talking for 1 hour. I told my doctor, the doctor, neither I will go for balloon nor for operation. I will first phone to Puttaparthi, know from Swami what I have to do, then I will tell you. And in the meantime, they made operation ready, everything. Operation theater, all those doctors who were supposed to come, all were there. And I am in room. So I spoke here. Please ask Swami, what shall I do? For 1.5 hours there was no reply, because to contact Swami and all this. But these doctors were waiting. I said, doctor, listen, they will charge me for waiting. No, don't worry about that. We will pay everything. But you wait till I get the reply. He said, you are funny fellow. Phone to Puttaparthi, and then you
Surgeon General in Puttaparthi has to give the approval.
Yes, and you know that it will take time.
Yeah.
I said, doctor, why you are worried? You charge me for every hour. I don't mind, but I cannot decide. But this personal friend of mine, who is also heart specialist, he knew that we believe only in Sai Baba. Then reply came through Mr. Chakravarti that go for balloon, don't go for open heart surgery. Doctor is still insisting on surgery, but not open. I told him, doctor, don't argue with me. Now you go for this, what order I receive. I don't want to go for any other operation. So the doctors who were waiting for heart operation, we paid for you. Why do you worry? So they took me to operation theater, which was ready since last 3 hours, and took me for put that stain. And they successfully put the stain. But doctor said it was very difficult to put the stain, looking to your condition. But we succeeded. Happy. After 2 days, I came back home. Then I came to Puttaparthi again after a few days. And I told Swami, this is what Malum, because he asked Swami, know that this is GB, he wants to know this. Next day, two people came to my room, an emergency room, no guest is allowed. What you call, they don't call emergency room.
ICU.
I was in ICU. They came to hospital, where we have got good influence in there. And they told him they want to meet GB. They said, he's in ICU, we can't allow you. He said, no, you have to allow me. I had to give him some prasadam. So doctor allowed him. He brought 2 packets of vibhuti. And he gave me. I massaged on my chest and ate little. Then I told them, take me now to the balloon. They took me. And we were successful.
And so after that, when you came to Puttaparthi, what did Swami said other than Malum hai, I knew?
I told him that they had told me this balloon or something like that. He said Malum.
How did you deal with the Mahasamadhi of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba?
I was here. When Swami left the body, I was here. I used to go to hospital every day and sit outside. And up to the last, when Swami went Samadhi, I was there in Puttaparthi. In my mind, to be very frank with you, one side I was very upset. Upset means very, not upset. When you miss something, some precious thing. So at one side it was like that. Second side, how can Swami go? Swami said that he will not go until this time and this year. How could Swami go? This I don't understand. But now I am seeing that we are putting Swami in Samadhi. So I have to believe it. But for a few days, I was very upset in my mind. That how it became. Then after a few days, Samadhi was built, and then I left Puttaparthi. And I regularly still come. Not every month, but every 2-3 months I come to Puttaparthi.
And your wife and your children all and grandchildren share...
My wife always come with me.
They share their same passion and love for Bhagavan.
Otherwise, how can they... Every time they want to come with me. But they don't have holidays, you see, they are schooling. But at least twice a year, once a year, they visit Puttaparthi, mm-hmm. all the children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yesterday, all my family was here. Complete. My daughters, my sons-in-law, my grandchildren, my sons, everybody was here. And they left only this morning, most of them, and some are still with me.
Mm-hmm.
That is the power of Swami. And one daughter came from Morocco, one daughter came from Singapore, one daughter came from Sri Lanka, one daughter wanted to come from Australia, wherever they live. They all were here. They came for 2 days and left because of the prayer ceremony of my grandson. I got only one grandson, means daughter's son and son's son, that both are grandson. From my sons, I got one grandson. And from my daughter's side, I got 4 grandsons. As I told you, 4 daughters, some 2 boys, some 2 girls.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you look back at your association with Baba, how would you describe him? Let's say your great-grandchildren want to know from you, who was this person that you used to all the time go to visit? So how would you describe Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba? Who is he for you?
All the children of my family know about the Satya Sai Mandir in Dubai.
Yes.
When they come, they attain all the bhajans.
That's in your home itself.
Home means, yes, you
it's
can call it
It's part of your residence, isn't it?
Yes, but separate entrance, everything
yeah.
is separate.
Yeah.
If you want to go to that mandir, you are not to come to my house.
Yeah.
You can go straight
from the side.
From
yeah.
the side.
Yeah.
And that mandir can take 300-400 people in seating.
Mm. But that's your grandchildren right now. Let's say like 100 years from now, if your great-great-grandchildren wanted to know who is Satya Sai Baba, what message would you leave behind for them? Who was he?
All my children know who is he.
And who is that?
All my children know that our grandfather is a devotee of Swami. And they feel happy when they come here. When they come here, they don't miss darshan. They come in the morning and also in the evening. That means they are fond of it, no? Otherwise,
of course.
Yes. So that is all, you see, if you ask me, this is all Swami who arranges this.
Hmm.
I never talk to them about Swami, but they hear and they read and they see me. That's all. And sometime in a family we discuss few matters. There also sometime discussion comes of Swami. They hear that. And they enjoy coming here. The biggest thing is that they enjoy. We don't force them to come. They themselves come forward. We want to come.
So for you, who is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba?
He's a living God on earth.
Yes, sure.
And I tell everybody, whether they believe or not, I'm not concerned. Even to some few friends of mine there, if the topic comes, he's a living God on earth. They don't believe me. They don't look at me. But I'm not bothered whether they should believe me or not. For me, he's living God on earth.
And I agree completely. Now that solitaire on your finger looks like a Baba ring, is that?
Yes, yes.
He knew your preference for solitaires, I guess. That is why he has given you a beautiful...
And you know what he told me?
What?
This meets your, not reputation, but your living standard also, no, but something like that. This is of your standard.
Because it's a huge solitaire.
Yes.
I'm guessing many, many carats.
Yes.
You and the Queen of England both.
He gave me this about 15 years back, 20 years back, 20 years back.
I see. So if you're shaking hands with royalty, you have compatible solitaire.
They think this is diamond, no? And it is diamond.
It is a diamond.
Yes.
Yes. It's beautiful. How blessed. It's been great joy hearing you.
All my children, I got something from Swami.
How blessed.
Shivling, our chain, our ring, everybody.
A very fortunate family indeed. And it's been such great joy listening to you. Thank you so much.
Not at all. You gave me this opportunity to talk, which is first time in my life.
And I really enjoyed listening to you.
Thank you.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Ekunkar Satna Karta Purak Nirpar Nirvair Akal Murak Arjuni Sevam Guru Parsad Jap Aad Sach Jugaad Sach Hai Bhi Sach Nanak Hosi Bhi Sach
माँ, सांसों में बसती है तू मेरी माँ। नजरों में भी तू है, ख्यालों में तू है, तेरे बिना रह न पाएंगे। नजरों में भी तू है, ख्यालों में तू है, तेरे बिना रह न पाएंगे। साईं मतलब बतलाया दो न जाना कभी तुम। तेरे बिना क्या दिन क्या रातें माँ, तुम आ जाओ ना। तेरे बिना क्या दिन क्या रातें माँ, तुम आ जाओ।
सांसों में बसती है तू मेरी माँ।
नजरों